This is Wildlife on Squidding with my mom.
You know what I think is funny? That already, I don't know, I think two of your team members were already on my podcast. So I feel like I know your team. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm a bit sick. I feel I get to know your team from different perspectives, your workplace. And it's nice to see because all of you have been just incredible, interesting human beings. It's not even an understatement. It's crazy. First, I think I met Tony. And yeah. I don't know who the other guy was, but I think he's from the UK or something. And he was such
Rick.
And he was such a great dude. And now now that I get to know you a little bit, I think like, wow, dude, you assembled a team over there. Incredible. Okay, but I'm sorry. Yes, today here with Michael Jordan, the Bitcoin Way. I'm personally, that's no secret, a huge fan of your company because I think you are really doing something that we all need. At some point, we need cybersecurity. We need to know how we save our bitcoins properly and all these things. And you combine this into something like, I like to call it the one-stop shop for sovereignty, because I think it is just nice. You gather the right directions into one point. So I love what you guys are doing. And I think we want to talk a bit about not only why you're in Bitcoin and what exactly you are doing over there, but also why homeschooling just makes sense and how to combine these topics, how everything we are doing in our daily life should be looked upon with a lot of curiosity for why are we doing it that way and why are we taking or why don't we permit more freedom in our lives. So I think you guys are all on this path to maximum freedom. This is why I love the Bitcoin Way. And I'm super happy that you're here with me, Michael, because I think you have a lot to share when it comes to homeschooling, Bitcoin, and the combination of the both things.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I'm excited. It's been a journey the last few years for me. So I don't even know where to begin. So you tell me what you want to know about first, but it all probably started with Bitcoin for what it's worth.
That's nice. Yeah, my first question would have been anyway, how did you fall into that Bitcoin rabbit hole? Because I think every Bitcoiner has a very individual story and it tells a lot from where you're coming from to where you're going. And I think it's incredible. I think you discovered Bitcoin a couple of years ago and you're already so deep into it. So you've been falling pretty fast into that hole.
Yes. Yeah. So I found Bitcoin in, I guess it would have been early mid 2023. So in 2022, I set a goal. I'm going to learn about this whole crypto space and I'm going to, you know, study blockchain and NFTs and all the, you know, all the buzzwords. Right. And I was fortunate to meet a guy who set me down a slightly better path. So I was still studying all of the crypto nonsense, but had some, had recommendations for Preston Pish's podcast, Bitcoin Fundamentals. And he told me to follow Lynn Alden, get on Twitter. I hadn't really done social media much prior. And I did. And so when everything started collapsing in 2022. When everything started collapsing in 2022, I recognized very quickly, oh, the Bitcoin maxis, the Bitcoin, not crypto crowd, have been right about everything. They understood fundamentally how these things work. And so maybe that's the signal and the rest of this stuff is noise. And so at least by halfway through the year in 2022, I remember being at a wedding and trying to orange pill someone and telling them, you know, Bitcoin only and why I thought it was so important. And that conversation came full circle just a week or so ago. I was talking to him again, because someone I don't see often, it's my wife's cousin who lives far away from us. And I think I might have delivered the final orange pill this time around. So hopefully I'm keeping my fingers crossed. But yeah, it was pretty quickly though. I'm a curious guy, and I started to recognize all of these other rabbit holes you could go down. I heard Bitcoiners talking about seed oils and homeschooling and, you know, libertarian and Austrian economic ideas and philosophies. And so I just started, you know, going down these rabbit holes. None of them as deep as I would like to at this point. I've got three young kids, so the time I get to allocate to reading and listening to podcasts is less than I'd prefer. But, you know, I need to prioritize family over my own personal educational journey.
That is pretty impressive. I like it a lot because I think you approach that whole area in the unschooling way. Because you're just doing whatever you feel like is the next step in discovering what there is to discover. And I really need to say, I think I discovered Bitcoin in 2015. And I'm a girl, I'm a woman, and I, of course, did not know anything about finance. Like in school, my parents, nobody cared about these kind of things. And when I discovered Bitcoin, I finally had the feeling like, okay, now I start to do understand finance and why the world is how it is. Mm-hmm. Because before I had like this feeling, okay, there's a lot of stuff going wrong. But in the end, what I discovered then was, okay, so if we follow the finance and if we really understand how this is built, it makes sense that everything is just run down and not working because it is supposed to be working like that. That is the crazy part in it. Mm-hmm. And I got pregnant, I think, maybe 5 years later. No, that is bullshit. 5 years earlier. Oh my God. And that thing changed my mind because I didn't want my son to go to school. And when I had this Bitcoin knowledge and like my connection to, okay, I need to follow the money. Why is this topic being taught the way it's taught in school and so on and so on. That led me to a huge rabbit hole. And I'm a teacher. I didn't know shit about the other side of the story. Mm-hmm. And that was very interesting because to see who's really funding the whole school system, who's funding which university and why, what is being taught where and why the way it is. It was incredible to see. And since that, I was not only like, normally it's like, yeah, I have a feeling my son doesn't want to go to school. But then I had like, no, he's not allowed to go there because what the fuck is going on? Like, I have to shield him from that bullshit. Yeah. When I realized like all the time I was right. And I was in private school. I was really like in a really good school, if you like to see it from this normal people view. And still such a fuck up. It's unbelievable. Like all the false information you have to get rid of before you can really enter the realm of the truth, what is going on out there is incredible. I don't know how this went for you to realize, okay, the school educational rabbit hole is like crazy.
Yeah, I think there are layers to just how bad the education system is. There is like the obvious extreme indoctrination stuff where things are getting woke. And I think a lot of parents just, I think there are a lot of parents who, that's where they stop. They don't want, you know, someone like the gender ideology. They disagree with certain things that are, you know, being discussed or books that their kids might be exposed to. To me, that's the least of my concern, honestly, because it is so, to me, that's a relatively easy thing as parents to overcome. Like, yeah, we don't do that. We don't believe that. We, you know, whatever. What's much harder is the fact that, and I think this is where the other two layers are, they're teaching inaccurate information. And they're teaching stuff that doesn't matter anyway, even if they were telling you the truth. Like they're teaching irrelevant information to producing productive adults. And those two, for the longest time, like early on when we kind of started down this homeschool journey with our daughter, who's now the equivalent of like a first grader, it was, you know, for me, it was, hey, I want her to learn the things that I think she needs to be learning. And she's not going to get that in school. And they're going to waste 7 hours of her day, five days a week, you know, for however many weeks a year, just to teach her stuff that I think is irrelevant. Now, the further into the rabbit holes that I've gone down, I step back and I assess, it's not only that they're teaching this unimportant information, they're teaching demonstrable lies. Yeah. And now what I want to do for my kids is there are some things that are just so evidently a lie that I'll just teach them what I, you know, I'll teach them the truth. There's some things that are controversial though, and I've come to a very different conclusion than what, you know, a teacher might be, you know, explaining to their students about history, for example, is a very obvious one. And I'm going to present both sides to my kids. And I'm going to say, look, here's the conclusion I've come to based on this evidence. Here's what all of your peers in school are being taught right now. It's completely contrary to what, you know, I think is, you know, happens to be the case. But let's watch a documentary on both sides. Let's read a book from multiple perspectives. And, you know, we're at an age with our kids currently, my oldest is seven, you know, we haven't gone deep into history. Like she's learning, you know, reading, writing, you know, math, those sorts of things. Like she needs to get those building blocks in place. But as she's progressed on that, it gives me the opportunity to put different books into her hand. Like we love the Tuttle twins. If you're familiar with them, and things that I would have never had access to, and it would have never even crossed my parents' mind to, you know, to expose me to. So it's my thoughts probably sound all over the place here. I think I'm beginning to get a better clarity as to what I want the progression of education to look like for my kids each day as the more I think about this.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, I had the same topic, especially with the history classes, because me as a German, of course, I was taught about Hitler, the Third Reich, and what happened in the Holocaust with all the Jews. And yeah, so a couple of years later, I'm doing my own research, and turns out
there's another side to the story.
There's another side of the thing. And So I had the same thing. I was teaching my son because he was very interested in the history of the German people. I taught him like, okay, look, this is what I found out. This is what your family believes in. And most of people in Germany, if you say it like how we do see things at home, it might lead me to go to jail because you cannot say these things in Germany. So I think there's a huge gap in between. Yeah, not only learning bullshit, but having to de-learn all that shit to fill your brain up again with things you can actually use for your life. I think for me, the main killer was really abuse in school, and nobody's really talking about it, I have the feeling. I mean, there's emotional abuse, there's physical abuse, there's psychological abuse. There are so many layers of abuse happening over there. Just this thing, you have to go there without your parents. Is that normal for a young human being? I don't think so. Then the question, who are these teachers and these kids? I mean, we don't know any of these people really, and they have such an influence on our kids. The whole day they are with them. So yeah. I think this whole disconnect and this they have to sit still, they have to be in this box all day long. I don't know, this is so far away from human nature and what kids in these ages really need. For me, it's just this feeling of, okay, I don't really care about what they teach them, but really making them like this retarded end product that are not capable of thinking for themselves anymore. That is just beyond, that's wild. And I really think this world is not going to change if everyone is pressed into this shape of this is how obedient workers should be like. I think it's a crazy idea to want to change something in this world and then send your kids to school. So that's not going to change anything, I guess. So we are just repeating it. It's a bit like want to fix the metric system. I think it's beyond. We don't have to fix it. We can just build something else. This is why I like to compare like this decentralized money and decentralized education. You just step out and you do something completely different. I think that's beautiful.
The only rules are really the rules we write for ourselves in many cases. And, you know, we like my wife has gone through, I mean, we've been homeschooling my oldest for 2 years now. And it's been like a learning curve for my wife trying to figure out, hey, what's the best way? Like she wasn't homeschooled. I wasn't homeschooled. We didn't really have any foundation for here's the way we should approach this. And so I anticipate each year will continue to evolve but I think the biggest like mindset shift that people need to have is that you have the option to adapt and change. And like the only mistake you can make, I think, is not homeschooling if that is an option that's available to you. And whether that's, you know, I know like Daniel Prince, who I think you might know, he's he hates the term homeschool. For me, I understand that. For me, it's just a convenient term to use because we're not doing like formal unschooling or formal like anything in particular, probably right now, because our kids are at an age where we need them to learn, you know, reading, writing, like the basics, so they can set themselves up to then learn other things in other ways. I listen to, if you haven't had, there's someone you should have on your podcast. Actually, I'm blanking on the name of the gentleman who I actually have joining ours next month. The author of this book, his name's Doug Casey, and he's like the world's most interesting man. I had a friend send me, he was on Ron Paul's podcast, I think fairly recently, and his co-author, whose name I'm blanking on here, they put together a curriculum. An alternative to college, specifically they sort of market it as for young men, but it's this sort of evolutionary process where you do segments of learning. You have like an anchor course, so you one segment of 4 months is like on fighting, and so you go learn Brazilian jiu-jitsu and in Brazil, or you go learn Muay Thai in Thailand, and alongside of that you're reading historical books related to that culture, that language, or whatever. And at the end of 4 years, they basically defined it as like, instead of college, go do this. You're a certified EMT, you can fly a plane, you can fight, you can cook, you can do all, and you've been simultaneously experiencing different cultures, learning different languages, reading books, you know, of relation to, in listening to different podcasts and taking online courses that all relate to this thing. And so you get to the end of 4 months and you already know more about a lot more things than anyone spending 4 years at a university ever would. And so what I'm doing now is the way I'm thinking about this is, okay, how do I love that concept. Like you finish 4 years of what you would have otherwise wasted in college, and you're a competent adult with a lot of cool experiences and a resume that most people don't accomplish in their entire life. How do I bring that back in time to having young kids? How do I begin to build that sort of curriculum, so to speak, for my 5-year-old boy and my 7-year-old daughter? And have them learn skills and useful information? And how do I incorporate some of those principles into a curriculum for, you know, for much younger kids? And I don't have a perfect answer yet, but that's the trajectory I'm on. And certainly as my son gets a little bit further into this and he, you know, gets the basics down, my intention is to step in and support him and allow my wife to spend more of her time with the girls, where I think they're, you know, I think he should be learning from a man as much as possible. And to the best of our ability, my daughter should be learning from their mom. And we'll see where we end up. I mean, maybe we report back 5 years from now or something, but it's certainly a much more exciting way of thinking about how we want to raise our kids.
That is so true. I really think this sounds like a very sophisticated approach to learning how I see world schooling a little bit into that direction, because this is what we used to do in the beginning of our unschooling journey, then Corona, lockdowns, blah, blah. And then we started to have these journeys. And I think our last trip, we went to Egypt, and I think my son learned a little bit of Arabic. That was nice because I speak Arabic, and then now we have a shared language. That is awesome. He's adapting really fast. So, and he learned how to ride a motorcycle. He learned about how to cook. He was cooking with the Bedouins in the desert, how to navigate and different water qualities and different kind of waters, like salt water, very sweet water, life water, and all these different things. So what I thought after this couple of weeks in Egypt, I mean, of course we saw the pyramids and the temples and we learned about history and real history and fake history, of course, all these things. But I think the best part for me was he learned how to ride a motorcycle. This is insane. He's 12 years old. And it changed him like a person. He's now like a little grown adult, and I can send him to get milk or anything with a motorcycle without any kind of worry in my head. That is just insane to me, because you mentioned learning how to fly a plane and these kind of things. So this is my approach as well, to have different angles to see life from like it's a puzzle.
Hey, dear unschooling friend. I'm very proud to present you my first partner, The Bitcoin Way. This is my go-to team for sovereign lifestyle solutions, and you already know the team from several episodes we did together for this podcast. They will guide you through mastering Bitcoin self-custody, securing your data with top-notch cybersecurity, and exploring Plan B residency for ultimate independence. This is what unschooling lifestyle is all about. So if you want to learn more about these freedom warriors, check out the link in the podcast description. See you!
More or less. So you have all these different views from all these different angles, from all the different countries and regions and people. You learn not only about the culture and religion, but you learn so much about yourself. And I think this is really missing in school, because I knew nothing about myself when I finished school. And I went to school for a fucking long time in my life. I came out there, I was like, dude, who am I even? Yeah. I have no clue. What am I doing with my life? And my parents thought I was crazy. I think that's just normal if you ask these questions, like, what am I here for? Dude, what the fuck? I'm here? What am I doing here? It's insane. And I think kids who grow up in this kind of mindset of getting to know the world while getting to know themselves, because they are really in that experience, incredible. Because I know a lot of unschooled kids that are now grown up and they don't have this question, who am I? They're just following their path and their passions, you know? So when I saw this, I was like, dude, I really need that for my child. I don't want him to stand there with like 20 years, like, who am I? Fuck, 20 years lost. I really want him to use his life for something that makes sense to him, especially to him and not to others. So I think
kids are so capable. And we wait until they're 18 to start teaching them anything, quote unquote, useful. And the reality is, you know, I mean, I'm planning on starting Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Like, this is stuff I didn't grow up doing. So my plan is just to go do these things with my son, and like, we'll learn them together and we'll have a blast. And like, he's going to start taking, I don't even know if he knows this yet. Like, next year he's going to start taking Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And I think the thing, I'd be curious to hear your opinion on this, because there's the one thing I think I sometimes disagree with the homeschooling, unschooling sort of crowd on, is many are like, hey, let your kids just decide everything. And, you know, they're going to study for an hour a day and then they're going to go be kids and play. And I think at a young age, I think there's validity to that. However, I have non-negotiables, though. Like, and this may seem like a silly non-negotiable for many people, but each of my kids they get to choose if they're going to take piano or guitar lessons. And they will do that until the day they leave my house, because I've never met anyone who regretted knowing how to play an instrument, especially a boy, because girls love it. And so when my son is 18, he needs to be really good at the piano or the guitar. And like that's a useful life skill, something you can do for forever. You know, and so I have things that I'm going to impose upon them. And then I think there's also a lot of room for flexibility and creativity and figuring out what it is that interests them. But I also think kids are naturally curious. And so when you just expose them to different things, that you might have someone who just latches onto a particular subject, but you might have a kid who's just like always ready for the next adventure. And I don't want to force them down some narrow path just because, you know, one time they expressed interest in that, because the world is a big place. There are a lot of languages, a lot of cultures, a lot of skills you can learn. And you have 18 years before you leave the house. Why not just do it all? Like,
yes,
go experience some things. There's no reason you should turn 18 and the only thing that you ever did was, you know, oh, I loved computer science. Like, that's great. If you love computer science, go, you know, tinker, play with that, have fun, learn as much as you can. But you're a one trick pony if that's the only thing you ever did. You should, you know, there's no reason you shouldn't also be able to cook, and you also shouldn't know how to ride a motorcycle, and you shouldn't know how to fly a plane, or like whatever the things are. Just present those opportunities. I think kids latch onto them.
Yeah. No, I have the same. I have a couple of non-negotiables in my house. Might be different from yours. So mine is definitely how to care for animals and how to approach like animals from the wild and how to stay safe. But this is just a result of where we live and where we travel. So
that's I don't know.
That is for sure.
That's an interesting one.
And I do have a survival and meditation spleen, so to say. So we meditate every fucking day. There's no day we don't do it. I mean, if you're super sick in bed, you maybe skip that. Yeah. But I taught him how to meditate from a very young age. And that is just what is going to happen in my household. That is what it is. I'm sorry, but that is what is happening every day. And the other one, survival, I think that makes sense, because if you travel a lot and you have the option to see a lot of different types of environments, you really learn quickly how to get clean water and how to build a shelter and how to approach different kind of catastrophes like natural disasters, because we have been in 2 wildfires and the volcano explosion and a lot of different other things. Because if you live in the wilderness, there are things happening and you have to know how to act in the situation. And I think the combination of survival and meditation makes it quite easy for my son to stay calm, then from all the experience he gained, to decide, okay, the fire is coming from that direction, wind is coming from where is water, where can we go, where are streets, where will the people go, and these kind of things. So this was very important to me, because I've seen so many people, including my neighbor, and she was 10 years older than me that moment. We saw the fire coming closer to the house, like downhill. And she was still like trying to get her car, like the battery wasn't working. And we were already done with packing the car in like 7.5 minutes because we have this drill. So we could help other people. That was nice. We took a rabbit from our other neighbor and we took this and that. We helped her with this battery problem. And my son was fucking calm. He wasn't afraid of the fire. He wasn't in any kind of survival panic mode. It was more like proactive survival. Okay, let's do this and that. And I think teaching your kids also about Bitcoin and these kind of things, it's always don't rely on somebody else. If there's like a natural disaster, go act and help others. I really want my son to be out there and be helpful to others and not be a liability or the next stupid NPC standing in the way. I really want him to be someone you can trust in keeping people safe and these kind of things. Because what I learned, a lot of men I met are so fucking stupid. And this is what they're supposed to do. Keep me safe, you know? So I'm like, okay, this is what my boy has to learn. He has no father. I'm sorry. So I have to teach him both sides. But this is how I do. We go out there, survival stuff.
And I think that's great. I think that's awesome. Yeah. Because in the skills that each skill that you add to their stack increases their confidence and makes them more competent in each of the skills that they've learned. Because if you just do a quick survival training course and, you know, and then you're thrown into a wildfire, you're probably not going to, like, you've only learned it on paper. But if you go camping and if you have to go find fresh water for the first time, and like all of those things build those skills. And I think that's the importance of, I want to give my kids experiences, but I want to immerse them in those experiences such that they leave the experience with actual skills, with confidence that they could execute on those skills in, you know, at a moment's notice. And that's a lot harder thing to do. You have to be very thoughtful about how you approach those experiences to make sure that they're, that it's becoming a part of them. And it's not just, oh, we did this, you know, 1 hour seminar class on a particular subject. Like, they're going to forget that an hour later. You need to build on those skills and give them an opportunity to use them.
That's so true. I really think that is how things should be taught, because I had the same feeling. You leave school, and I studied additionally for 10 years. I wasn't able to do any kind of job. And I, after like 13 years of school, 10 years of university, I had the expectation, now I'm ready to work. And then I looked at different jobs. I was like, dude, I don't know any of this. How can I, well, how will I survive? I didn't know anything. I didn't know how to rent an apartment, how to do my taxes. I mean, this is good that I didn't know it, because that kept me from doing it, actually, and searching for alternatives. But like these everyday life things. And I think what I see, the world is getting more chaotic and more crazy by the minute. Why do so many kids have no clue about what is going on? I mean, you can see it from different angles. For some, it's a spiritual war. For some, it's economical, blah, blah, blah. But let's just keep it how it is. It's fucking chaotic out there, and it's getting worse and more interesting and maybe better. We don't know. But yeah, having them ready to approach that chaos, I think for me, that keeps me like sane, that I know my kid knows everything is crazy out there. So that's good. That's a good start.
Oh, completely. And I think what we're talking about too is, there are a lot of, you can find who knows how many articles or, you know, pundits talking about, hey, in a world of AI, what skills should your kids have? And maybe there's good guidance, but they're all speculating. I think that you should think about that sort of thing. Like, in 20 years, what skills do my kids need to have? But you're still sort of guessing. And so in the absence of a perfect answer, while you build toward, you know, identifying useful skills in of the future, just make them competent. Help them to learn any number of things. Like, they should, I think a kid should get out of, you know, what has traditionally been like college, and they should have 5 or 10 or more jobs that they could go take and do well, because they have the skills to do it. The fact that we spend 4 years teaching one skill at university, and you get out and you still don't really know much about it, is insane. You have 18 to 22 years, say, for them to learn 10 skills, 15 skills, and be really good at it. Like, there's a lot of time in a day. And so while, like, right now my wife spends, you know, 60, maybe 90 minutes a day with my daughter, you know, doing, there's a lot of stuff we do outside of that, right? With like her, we've got like a little homeschool community, and they do field trips and, you know, different events and things like that. But at a certain age, my hope is that our kids are investing, you know, several hours every single day in very, I guess, sort of dedicated educational environments, because I want them to learn that, you know, yes, childhood should be about playing and exploring. There's lots of time for that, though. It should also be an opportunity for you to begin learning to sit down and focus on a task, and to test, screw up, fail, and then try again and get a little bit better. And then, you know, you keep doing those things. And so I have a feeling, as our kids get a little bit older, the amount of time that we want them dedicated to learning in whatever capacity, it's going to be fun. Like, it's going to be awesome, but it's going to be more and more, because I don't want to have a kid who thinks that his whole existence is, oh, I just, you know, study with mom for an hour and then I do whatever I want. Like, I think kids probably need more structure than that, but they don't need 7 hours in a blue lit room with a bunch of other kids who don't know anything about what's going on in the world, with a teacher who you probably shouldn't trust to educate your child. It's like finding this balance of devoting the right amount of time to formal education, even if by formal, I mean, it could be a number of, you know, very fun experiences, with, you know, letting your kid be a kid and just explore and use their imagination and find things to do on their own. So it's a process. There's no silver bullet.
That's true. You know what I was thinking about? We spend a little time with the tribe in the jungle, and I've seen these kids very occupied all the time. Of course, there was boredom, but that was quite a healthy boredom. It isn't this boredom you sit at home in your box, in your home box, and that is it. But everyone was so connected in that community. That is the first huge difference that I see from our lives and from their lives. So everyone was so connected. There was like not this huge gap between these are kids and these are adults. That was somehow different. They were just all human beings in different kind of ages, and they had stuff to do. They weren't just sitting around and doing whatever the fuck they wanted. No, not at all. They had a lot of free time. But in this flow of living, there were like things they had to do. They had, all of them had a task to do. And so I really think that is super important to teach them that life is more than this fun part that we maybe missed out completely because we went to school too much. But having the balance of this is, you need to brush your teeth. That is, you have to do things. It is what it is. This comes with existing on this planet. You have to keep things clean. You have to care about, you have to overcome yourself every day a little more. So I think, yeah, this is the nice balance between giving them a real childhood and giving them also already the taste of life is fucking hard. You have to walk in your own way with your own motivation through things. And there is an outcome at the end, whatever it may look like. And I think in school, this comparison of skills or skill sets, that is so crazy to me. Because in normal everyday life, me and you, we wouldn't sit together and compare our, you know, oh, you look at that. How did I do that? And how did you do this? And I think that is so unnatural to me, this comparison. And it ruins somehow the connection between human beings. And this, I see this huge disconnect on our planet, really. And homeschooling gives us back the opportunity to connect with our kids, to stay connected, and not to give that connection up to a very artificial institute that is, yeah, I don't know, caring or not caring for our kids, however this is like. So I think what you are doing, having your 2 million kids at home being homeschooled and having a homeschooling community, I think that's very necessary in these times to have back that community feeling, that thought of connection. Because how many people are just fucking sick because they are disconnected from everything, basically? That's crazy. I cannot imagine.
Yeah, it makes no sense. But you have to, and maybe this is where I can kind of tie a bow on the conversation for you, is what you're saying makes a lot of sense to you and I. And I think, I think there are a lot of people who would hear this and they'd be like, I just don't get it. Mm-hmm. For me, what I would say, not to make this more about Bitcoin than necessary, but I was able to go down this rabbit hole, and for everything you've said to just make sense, because I began to unpack why everything seems to be breaking. And it's not just education. I mean, that is an obvious and easy example, but it's healthcare. Why is everyone sick, fat? It's at least in the US, like health insurance, like costs are like doubling over the next year. Like, why is that? Like, I'm not two times the expense to the healthcare system that I was before. It's media. They're lying. We're addicted. You know, like it's the entertainment industry. I mean, it's architecture. Like, our buildings are uglier. Our art is worse. Right. Like, I mean, you used to have Michelangelo and now you've got, you know, people splattering paint on a canvas and calling it art and selling it for $1 million. Like, why is that? And it's all downstream of the money. If you follow the incentives of what easily printable money does to society and does to the people who have access to that capital first, it all becomes very obvious. And it's the reason we've been lied to about any number of world wars. It's the reason we've been lied to about what's happening right before our eyes. So for anyone who's listening, who is down the unschooling, homeschooling rabbit hole, awesome. That's a great start. But you probably have like 5 or 10 more rabbit holes that you need to go down, and you don't even know what they are necessarily. I would tell you to start with the money. Start with figuring out, how does money work? What is money? And read the Bitcoin standard, read the fiat standard, both by Saifedean and Moose. And your eyes are going to be open to this, and you're not going to have all the answers at first. And none of us have all the answers, but you're going to start knowing what you need to be paying attention for. And pretty quickly, you're going to be the parent who isn't vaccinating your kids, is only buying local, you know, grass-fed, grass-finished beef, is canceling your health insurance, is homeschooling your kids, you know, growing your own crops. Like, you're going to begin to realize that those are the logical conclusions to the broken money of the world. And I sound like a crazy person saying that until you go do the research on your own and start digging a little bit deeper. So that would be my encouragement to anyone listening, is start with the money, because everything else begins to make sense.
That is, I really like that. You know what I did? I think 3-4 months ago, I finally put up like a official, I don't know what it is. I forgot the term in English, like a guide, my last will, what is happening with my kid if I die tomorrow, who's going to take care. And he's not going to school. He's not vaccinated. He's not this, he's not that. And I picked up my cousin, who was really happy to receive that gift of maybe having a child without having it because I die in a tragic accident. And he was like, Alex, you know, the first thing we do is we vaccinate him against every disease that is crawling upon this planet. I was like, dude, he will be retarded. I mean, that is on you then. And we will see. I mean, I'm in heaven then and I will see the huge difference it takes on a life. Because this is really, I don't know, one of my biggest concerns was maybe they put him in school or they vaccinate him, what the hell. But in the end, what am I going to do? This is the first, I don't know, my favorite human being in my family is my cousin. So I was like, he has the biggest heart. Maybe he's not vaccinating him. School, okay, I can live with that. But vaccinating, wow. I mean, maybe not.
The thing is, what you're going to do, though, is you're going to raise a kid who is smart and critically and is capable of rejecting.
I hope so.
You know, like he's maybe not quite to that age, but he's close to the age where he will opt out on his own because you've given him the confidence and the skill set to think in such a way as to make those decisions. And I think that's the gift I want to give my kids, is not that dad has all the answers or not that I'm right about everything. If anything I've learned, all I've done my whole life has been wrong about everything. So
yes.
It's not that I think I have all the answers. It's that I want them to be able to step back and, regardless of what dad thinks, regardless of what mom thinks, and certainly regardless of what all the dumb kids of their age think, to make a decision as logically, practically as they possibly can. And to your point, to do it with a big heart, you know, to do it in the interest of caring for the people around them, the people they love. And I think, God willing, I'll have enough time on this earth to get my kids to that age of their lives that they can do that. And if something tragic happens to me, I don't have to, there's no worry that I left them prepared.
True. That is nice, really. You know what? I think that a lot of parents who are interested in homeschooling or unschooling or whatever we want to call it, they have this fear of they need to know what they are doing. But I think the real art is to realize we don't have no fucking clue what we are doing. And this is the beautiful thing, because before we were told this is what you do. And we are so used to that. Like, there is someone telling us what to do and how things should look like. But taking away this, it gives you a lot of responsibility and so much freedom. And living in this unknown every day and to be able to change the topics that your kids are learning, to change the whole approach if necessary, if you feel like that. I think this freedom makes so many parents so afraid that they don't even start to homeschool. Mm. And this is what I've seen in a lot of families, that at least one parent is so afraid that they are just not doing it. And I do see that this might be scary to be in the position of needing to tell your kids, like, I don't have no clue. I mean, I'm doing this for the first time as well. But I think it's honest and transparent. I really like that approach, to be honest. Because to be real, what do we know?
Yeah, a lot less than we like to think. But if a public school teacher can stand up and so confidently misinform kids because they think it's the truth, then you can confidently, as a parent, say, I don't have all the answers. Let's look at let's look at both sides of the story. Let's look at, you know, the objective facts we have before us, and let's look at the incentives. Like, this is why the money matters so much. Like, what are the incentives to push this policy or that policy? Again, it doesn't have to be about finding the right answer. I think you stumble across right answers along the way from time to time. But the more important thing is that you can be very confident as a parent that you have the best interest of your children at heart, and you're not going to knowingly lie to them.
Yes.
The average teacher is knowingly or unknowingly lying to the kids that they've been trusted with every single day. And I would say most of them unknowingly, like I give them the benefit of the doubt. They're taught this is what happened in World War II, and that's what they spew. And it's not necessarily their fault. It would be helpful, though, if maybe they were a little more curious and they ask some questions, but they're not going to, because it's not their kid. I'm the only human being on earth that wants my son to be better than me. Every other human being on earth, maybe they care about my son and they say, oh, I hope he does well. I'm the only one who wants my son to be better than me. And that alone should give any, and that's true for any good parent, that alone should give them the confidence they need to say, I'm the only person who's going to operate in his optimal interest. So let's just do this thing. It's not going to be perfect. We're going to make changes along the way. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to, you know, be wrong about something. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And you know what? I had two teachers that were child molesters. And I think like, wow, if this is happening over there, it's much safer at home. So I'm a much better human being than these people. Yeah. So this is the baseline I'm operating on. Like, dude, these people fucked up. I'm not able to fuck up like that. So I have a question. What was your biggest like struggle or challenge when you started homeschooling? What was your big fear, maybe, so to say?
I don't know that I had a big fear, because I was far enough along this this thought process that we've kind of gone through to where I was like, I think anything, I mean, you could literally not even teach your kids anything and it'd be better than sending them to school. So literally anything we do is going to be better. My wife had a lot of concerns about her like competence, her ability to do this. Cause in her mind, she's like, oh, like at least when we send them to school, it's with someone who's been trained to be a teacher. And I'm like, yeah, but the training was shit. Like we don't, the fact that you don't have all of this baggage to unwind from puts you in a better position. And especially last year, her first year doing this, you know, it was kind of pulling teeth with my daughter. My daughter's great, but she was unaccustomed to sitting down with my wife for an hour, hour and a half at a time and learning. So she'd get frustrated. She's a firstborn girl. So it's like, she wants perfection. She, you know, so there was like some frustration on her part as we went through this. And then my wife was sort of reevaluating how we do this. I can't even think of the name of the sort of curriculum or the style of teaching she's doing now, but she had this moment she told me about. She was in her car listening to a podcast and of them explaining like why you need to kind of let go of this, the conventional approach to homeschooling. And she said she started crying and it just like, it suddenly like clicked for her. And she didn't need to be perfect. She didn't need to have a degree from a university, you know, ordaining her to be a teacher. Like she could just do this and she could do it her way and our way, and it will get better and better over time. So I think it's a matter of just overcoming that initial, whatever that initial fear is, just understanding it doesn't matter. It's the fear is, I guarantee you, unfounded. Just get started and then just learn as you go. And the funny thing is, that's exactly what kids do.
Yeah.
They try to walk for the first time and they fall and they're worried that they're going to, you know, they're kind of tentative and then like, you know, a few months later they're walking. Like just do the same thing with homeschooling. Like that's just how we learn. We just, you know, we bump our heads, we fall down and we get up and we keep trying. It's the same thing, but you just need to have the humility to be okay with that.
That is so true. And you know what I can say as a teacher? I went through all this learning how to teach people things. I don't know how to teach anyone anything. I was not prepared. I mean, I was prepared from the technical point of view, like how to teach the German language. Mm-hmm. And as a German, that is not really a difficult part because you're already speaking that fucking language. And then you just open the book and tell them to do page 4 to 6. That is what it is. They didn't teach me. And then they were already sending me off to the students. And I was like, dude, this is insane. I have no clue how people work. Like, these are tiny human beings. How am I supposed to handle them? So I know that teachers, maybe I was just missing out in university. I have no clue. But I had no clue how to teach anyone anything. And this gave me a lot of confidence, ironically, to teach my son, because I knew that no matter what teacher I will be choosing, they don't know shit. And that's good, because nobody knows anything in this world. And I think so many people, or a lot of parents I know, they're so focused on success and having these successful things around you. Like, this is, I think, a image from indoctrination, to be honest, because I'm pretty much a minimalist. I don't own a lot. I have one backpack and that is it. I have two dogs and a cat and a kid and a mobile phone. That's it. And I really don't miss anything in my life. I don't feel unsuccessful because I just have one backpack filled with a little crap. I don't even need that thing. I mean, 90% of what I have in there, I never touch. That is incredible. And other people are like hoarding so many things and calling it is success. And what does success look like? I don't know. Because I think if we die, I don't know how much of this fake success is really with us then. Yeah. And this is, we come on this planet, we are completely alone. We go completely alone to the other side, wherever that leads us. And in between is a lot of exciting things to do. I see it like that. I mean, I heard nobody telling me, like, you're going down there, you will have a great job, and then you will pass out and sleep forever. Like, what the fuck? This is a very strange opinion to have about life. Yeah. I hope that a lot of homeschooling parents feel that one day, that what the fuck is success? I don't know. What are we preparing each other for? That is just insane.
I think that's well said. It's the, what you hit on earlier, there's like this illusion of experts, mm-hmm. that if, you know, and that's not to say that all experts don't have, none of them have any knowledge, but to assume that just because someone got a degree in teaching, they're somehow qualified to spend all day, every day, you know, educating children. It's the same. And again, there are well-meaning experts, like I think most teachers, you know, they care about their kids. They think they're doing something good and important. And I think you have just as many or more experts who are completely driven by financial incentives. And it's the experts pushing the vaccines, and it's the experts, you know, pushing sick care on our kids and pushing, you know, crappy foods and pushing. I mean, how many experts are behind the addiction to social media that everyone has? You know, I mean, literally behavioral experts are the ones helping to build these algorithms. Like, they are hiring people to make this shit addictive. Like, don't assume that just because someone's an expert, they're what they have to say is useful, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's no one better equipped to educate your kid than you.
True. And I think this is a God-given right and responsibility. That is the funniest part, because when I compare it to the tribes that live in nature, they don't outsource their kids.
No.
I mean, they outsource it to the grandma, to someone else from the tribe, but not to another force that is coming in from somewhere else and pushing an agenda upon them. So what I learned from them was, really, this is your responsibility. It came from you, from your body. So take care of it in every aspect. There is nobody better than you. Otherwise, someone else would have had that kid, but you got it. They are all individuals. So I think maybe this is a little, I don't know, hippy-dippy thinking. But in the end, I think I could have a different child, completely different child. But I don't. So maybe I have exactly that kid because he needs what I know and how I treat him, how I show him how the world is working. So I don't know. I have the biggest conflict always with my parents because they are so afraid of my lifestyle that when I talk to them after that, I'm afraid myself. I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? And then after a couple of breaths, like, oh my God, no, this is working fine for like 15, 20 years now. I don't have to be afraid of that. But this is crazy because I know there are a lot of people out there having the lack of community, and this is why they are back in, like, yeah, away from options like homeschooling.
Yeah,
what's the problem from your team?
It takes some courage to do what you're doing. And like, I'm fortunate. My parents think it's cool that, like, my brother, he and his wife are homeschooling their kids.
Nice.
My parents think it's awesome. I think that if I have my way with how these homeschooling years look, as my kids get a little bit older to where we can we've kind of gone beyond the basics, I think I'm going to raise some eyebrows even within my family, because it's going to look probably less nomadic than your lifestyle and your approach, but it's going to be a lot more I'm going to take my kid to the shooting range and teach him how to shoot.
Oh,
again,
yes.
You know, in a couple of years. And like, that's going to be, that to me is more valuable education than, you know, I don't know, sitting around for another hour learning. Who knows? I don't even know what the alternatives are, but real life skills, things that make you dangerous, things that make you interesting, things that push you, build confidence. Like, we're just going to go out and just do it. And I'm going to be, especially with my son, I'm going to be out of the house a lot with him, God willing. That's the only reason I care about Bitcoin number go up and the price appreciating is to give me some more financial freedom to work less and invest more time, you know, with him. So it's going to be a wild ride, and it's going to be something that I think even the average homeschool, you know, family that we're in community with is going to look at me and be like, what in the hell are you doing? Like, it's going to be inconceivable to them.
Yeah, I love that. You know what? In the morning, I had like this urge of, okay, I need to go out. I don't know what I need to do outside, but I should get outside and walk around a little bit. So I went to my son. I was like, I need to go out. Let's go shopping. I need some things. And on the way to the like little shop here, we met a crazy woman. We met her before, and I didn't get her number. And there she was. And she was like, I've been waiting for you. And I was like, oh my God, I knew it. It's so crazy. And we were sitting there. And oh, now I forgot. And she looked me into the eye and she was like, dude, you got to stop working. And you can, if you are honest, you can. And I was like, what does she know? I mean, who is she even? And I got up and we drank a coffee. I got up. We went to this grocery store and get our bananas. And on the way home, I was like, dude, I should totally quit my job because I can. I have Bitcoin. I live in a country where I can use Bitcoin however I want for any purposes. It's so fucking easy. I should just quit my job and spend the next 2 or 3 years just being a staying at home, mom. That is crazy. That's insane. That's a dream. And of course, she was smoking marijuana, so I had some. And then I was waking up like, oh my God, best morning. But I had the feeling like, oh, I would love to smoke weed this morning, but I'm not a person to smoke weed in the morning, you know? And then she was sitting there with her coffee and her little JJ. And I was like, dude, this is awesome. I need more of this. Doesn't happen to you if you bring your kid to school, go back to your 8-hour job and these kind of things. So that happened because we are really living in the flow and moment. Yeah. So I think the same. I love Bitcoin to give me that opportunity to opt out whenever I feel like I'm spending time with my kid. That is incredible.
Yeah, I think that is, if it's financially available to you, because I think there are a lot of people who they haven't found Bitcoin. And we were talking about this on our show this morning. If you run the numbers right now, and like the traditional approach of like saving and investing right now, if you save for 20 years, you earn 7%. You pay 3% to inflation and 40% to taxes, which would be like a pretty traditional trajectory here in the US. You're going to, over 20 years, 1.5, you know, X what you have made. Like, that's not enough.
Yeah.
You can't live a life of freedom and much less retire doing that. And so you have to find what is the only option. What's the alternative? And it's Bitcoin. Like that's it's, you know, unfortunately a lot of people are going to be starting out later than, you know, others. Like it sounds like you've, you know, accumulated that freedom over time. People starting out today are going to have to wait a few years for that freedom to, for the financial freedom to be accessible to them. But immediately day one, if you buy Bitcoin and you take self-custody, you have a kind of financial transactional freedom that is not something anyone else has today. Can't be censored. You don't need permission. You can't be stopped. You can carry it with you wherever you go. It's really the only form of money, like the type of life you describe that you have. Bitcoin is the only form of money that makes any sense for someone in your shoes.
That is so true. It is beautiful. And this is exactly, I had a little presentation to homeschooling people about Bitcoin. And I exactly told them that. I mean, you love your kids, you're already homeschooling. What do you think Bitcoin can do for you? It's giving you much more time and freedom to do exactly what you're already doing in much more peace and tranquility. That is awesome. So I think I robbed a lot of your time. Sorry, but I have like so many more questions, but it is what it is. So maybe you can tell where, if someone wants to follow up with your work and what you're doing in everyday life, where can they find you?
Yeah. First of all, thank you. We could have rambled forever. That was so much fun. My name is Michael Jordan. I'm Chief Growth Officer at the Bitcoin Way. You can find me on X. I think I'm at the other M Jordan, not the Michael Jordan. I'm a different Michael Jordan, obviously. The Bitcoin Way, we're all about self-sovereignty. So we can train you to take self-custody of your Bitcoin, lock down your devices, help you set up a privacy phone. We have a Plan B residency option in Panama. So we got a lot of people in many sort of tyrannical jurisdictions looking for an opt-out, and we've got that. So go to thebitcoinway.com. You can schedule a free 30-minute consult with our team. We'll talk you through whatever your area of interest is. And I can just say, I mean, quick plug for the team. I was a client before I joined the team, and I cannot possibly say enough good things about the folks that I work with. I mean, next to my family, I trust these people more than anyone else on earth. It's an incredible group. So if you're looking for a life of self-sovereignty, you got to check out the Bitcoin Way.
Yes. I want to sign that statement because I really love your team.
Thank you.
Incredible people.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for the time today. I had a blast.
Same. Thank you so much. And I will put all the links to what you mentioned in the podcast description. So one click, everyone can see your work. Thank you so, so much for making time for this. Really awesome. Nice.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to support my work, please head over to Fountain or Linktree. I do accept Bitcoin, and it means the world to me if you guys support my work. And leave a comment, reach out to me on Nostr. I'm really happy to hear from you. Thank you so much. And if you want to have more of Wildlife Unschooling, head over to Fountain. There's a Wildlife Unschooling Premium. It starts with $5 a month, and you can pay more if you want, and you can pay in Bitcoin. There you will find all bonus episodes, and you will have early access to all my scheduled episodes. Have fun, and see you soon.